confident. It's even worse when you finish at 11 p.m. And going to wake up at 7 o'clock and you're going to be in the meeting. I'm sure that's why I don't tell it like today. You finish at 11 p.m. and you go to Acacia Park after 5. And go to cook. No, you can get a 7-1 and keep them one. I remember, sometimes you always ask yourself, would you be able to map out the future if you don't know where you come from? And would you complain if you had challenges during your time and want those challenges to be hidden because you don't want the future generations to know? Yet, the future generations would be able to map out their future by knowing where they come from. Even if it was bad, even if it was good, it was a stepping stone for them to plan the future. I'm not sure if I'm right when I think what we're going to be talking about, the strategy of what we're going to be talking about, has got to do with where we come from, how do we know our past, so that we can make out our future. And it's calling on us to say, whatever we do, whether it's right or wrong, it's going to have an impact on those who are going to come after us. So we must always remember that we are not eternal, but there's going to come a time where we're going to disappear, and we should leave a situation where they'll be very proud of what we've done, and then take over and do something. It doesn't mean that we're not going to falter. We're going to falter, we're going to make mistakes. If I'm not wrong, I think it's all about that today. We're looking for it, interestingly, to see. But by the way, remember that there's an invitation that was given to me yesterday. Maybe we need to reorganize ourselves. An invitation to Kofifa. You know, the famous Kofifa, but the minister is going to be there. The minister is going to be there tomorrow. Not tomorrow, on Friday, on the 12th. We are invited. But when I said to Tanas, he said, it's too short a notice. Only one person can go. And I was trying to see if we can get somebody else. He said, no, you must be the one who goes to that base. But if there are otherwise, I don't know how, what can we do? Because we've got to make applications and all that. Maybe Oshana would explain to us how difficult it is. But I think even if we don't go now, even if this one person will go, but we need to find time to go to the government at a certain stage to see what's happening. So we have to do that. But it would have been nice to go there when the minister is there, is doing whatever it is. So there was that invitation, but I was told that it's too late for all the members to be able to go to government. So I apologize at the same time, trying to say let's plan for future and see what we can do later. So, welcome members. Today we're going to be, a strategy driven by the Department of Science and Technology on Paleo Science Strategy and Research and Development. If you notice, the past 2, 3, 4 weeks we've been dealing about strategies, but I don't think they're just straightforward strategies. It's actually what they're telling us. Not a strategy like a strategy of a department, but to say, this is what we're doing in the department. So it's not something that you can say, why didn't you use your strategy? But they're telling us what is going on. But this put as a strategy, but that's what is going on. So fortunately, the department is here led by Dr. Thomas. I've given him that and delivered it. So they're going to be presenting to us. I'm sure that Dr. Thomas, you know the numbers, but I see there's a new face beyond you. So maybe for the sake of the new face, let's tell you who are the members. The main person was drinking tea there. He wanted to drink alcohol, but unfortunately he can't get it. He was so left to him is from Congo. next to him is Malindi, also from the light end. But now it's better off to be reliable than Congo because the load shedding is hitting them very hard. Now they want to go to rural areas. Because we're used to kind of she's coming from Alexander. She's the whip of the community. Behind her is Anneli Lotet. She's from Bloomsdart. I'm sure you know Bloomsdart. The only thing that I hate with Bloomsdart, Anneli, is that if you travel, you get to town, there are no sandals. That's what I noticed. You get lost there, you out for
a
oh, you know everything. Oh, they need to see myself connected to the program. They need to know. Next to her is Nick, honorable Nick Corona. He's a happy player. A very strong happy player. But he's a legal. Don't take him in a bit. Others will be in court and he'll win in court. So thank you. All those are the members. I'm Vivian Corona. I hear from. I wanted to say Grimson, but Grimson is a big time in this case, given from Clinton. But I was recruiting Utahomas to a state in Eastern Cape, but he's refusing. I don't know how to pack him. Maybe I have to organize some alcohol and make him come and get to Eastern Cape. So thank you very much. We'll give over to you, Thomas, to the presentation. By the way, when you do the presentation, we are requesting, because we're getting tired, we want you just to go on with the presentation without helping. He will just go on and interrogate you on what you have presented. And after that, we call it a day. But if people want to help you, or they can do it one more continue. And when we interrogate you, we'll just give you all the questions as usual, and then you can write all of them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. By the way, I was born in East London, so I also have a foot in the Eastern Cape. It's wonderful to be here again today. I would like to ask my colleagues to introduce themselves. I will not be making a presentation today. One of the colleagues will be doing so. So if I could just ask, Professor Leti.
Well, my name is Jonathan Leti. I've appeared before you on Indigenous Knowledge Systems, but my portfolio covers science missions, which is the geographical advantage area minus astronomy, which is the marine and Antarctica, and then the eighth system sciences, and as part of that. So I keep the geographical advantage area portfolio as part of my work.
My name is Dipuo Khotle. I am the Deputy Director of Health Sciences, working with Dr. Abdi Haire and Dr. Seleti.
Thank you, colleagues. Again, I think that the team in the, from the department that's sitting behind us, Chair, I think is also known to you and all of the members, so if we can dispense with that team. Thank you. I'm going to ask Dr. Seleti to make the presentation. Just by way of open comment, yes, you're right. We certainly are looking into our history, but we're looking in this presentation, but we're looking into our history as humankind, not as a society or a piece of society or a specific society, but as humankind and as part of the history of the world. So that's to some extent what this program of Paleoscience Research and Development is about. And you're right, we hope to present to you and the honorable members an overview of the program as a whole, our Paleoscience Research program as a whole, the Paleoscience strategy, which was approved by Cabinet a couple of years ago, will be part of the presentation, but it's not the only focus. We have tried also to incorporate into this presentation numerous visual images of the sort of work that we're doing, as we did with the marine and Antarctic research strategy, because seeing the pictures gives you, honorable members, a much better impression of the nature and content of the work than if we were just to talk about the strategy.
Thank you very much. this is what we agreed that would be our roadmap, but we didn't make a provision where we would begin to have a discussion around paleosciences as a field itself. And it is indeed a look into the past, but through the fossils, through the remains. And I was just reflecting that one of the great points of departure to explain this will be looking at the geological history of the country, because much of this paleo work is the fossils are part of the geology as we go down to an earth. So it is an interesting conjuncture that historically we seem to have wealth of minerals through which we look at our geology, but we also have a wealth of fossils, because to a certain extent in terms of our evolution, this was a very exciting and interesting part of the world. And so we happen to have probably the most fossils around humankind, but also even around plants and animal remains. So this is what has given us this geographical advantage within the globe. In terms of our sharing, we'll focus on strategy, some of the sciences, but also this science has led us to develop some technologies to be able to interpret it. So we'll share bits of that as well, so that we can understand the scope of what is involved to be a leader. And just like we look at the work of astronomy, we are becoming to be leaders. We also want to look at this geographic advantage area, so that we can provide global leadership. And it's not just in the number of sources, but also in the science and the interpretation and the linking of that to our present. So we're not just doing this for the past, it's to enrich the current world that we live in. So this is basically that what we want to do is to trace the history of the development of the strategy, look at what we have faced as our performance indicators, and then share with you how far we've come in meeting those performance indicators. And then we'll conclude. Just beginning with the South African National Research and Development Strategy, these are the four geographical advantage areas which were picked on: astronomy, human paleontology, biodiversity, and Antarctic research. In the knowledge field, that's where the IKS comes in to complete the story. In looking at the paleosciences strategy, the objective was to be holistic in the approach that we have in the country, which will not limit it to only the human development, but it will expand it to look at other species as well. So we work around the scope of work. But we have strength in providing the link in terms of the human species and its evolution. In terms of the objectives, the aim is of to excel in research, to develop the required human capital, and also to unlock the economic potential inherent into that. So it's from the knowledge up to the practical part of being used in society. In the five goals that were set out in the paleosciences strategy, one was on the public awareness and the human capital developments, and then looking at the institutional framework that we have, museums and others, how do we strengthen them, and also looking at the South African heritage agencies to build capacity, and then to feed into science tourism or paleontourism development, how do we contribute to that. The slides placed, well, the cartoons are placed in there just really to explain that there are different elements of this. There's the humankind aspect of it, there's also the biodiversity side of it. But in the human side, it is important to look at the rock art paintings at the beginning of intellectual activities recorded in terms of global. So if we want to look at intellectual history, we must also trace it back to South Africa in terms of looking at the remains that we have. So that's probably the explanation of those cartoons. In implementation strategy, this is the guide which really maps out DST interventions, and it indicates which departments we're going to work with. And in this particular area, the strategy was developed in consultation and support of the Department of Agriculture, Department of Environmental Affairs, and Tourism. And we are sought out in terms of working together to make sure that we... It's probably one of the things that we mentioned in the presentation, that this is work in progress in terms of where we're going. These are the indicators and the goals. It's only transforming the minds. We have a couple of indicators, traveling exhibitions, and also learn support materials that we get into the schooling system and tackle it from that point of view. In terms of supporting the universities, we have also looked at the research and the awards given, the bursaries that go to the students, but also the number of research posts that needed to be created to keep the research going. We also looked at the museum, and if you are familiar with the work in the museums, it requires a lot of reactivating the active research that used to happen in the museum. So we looked at that as a focus of our work. We've also looked at the heritage site. So we have developed instruments, like the number of reports and policy instruments that we need to develop, the number of museums and heritage institutions that are linked so that this heritage is put online in terms of the SANREN. And then we have also looked at the tourism destination, the number of areas that we develop as tourism nodes. Agreements with other government departments has been part of that aim. So let's then we shift gear in terms of just indicating that these are the measures by which we want to be measured in terms of our progress. Now we get into to report the work that has been done around that. In the area of knowledge generation, and since we're pushing for excellence in this field, we have a center of excellence of career sciences that was established in 2013. And the hub is established at the University of Witwatersrand, but there are partners as well that work with that. And the focus of the research is on these four areas. How best can the unique South African artifacts or artifactual records be used to interpret the origins of life? It also has focused more on the origins of modern human behavior and what are the drivers of evolutionary change. What is it that has been behind these changes? And then we look at how significant the roles are, the roles of extinctions and radiations in this process. So it's more around the scientific work to explain the transitions that happen within the changes. Looking at the research outputs, so the center, like all other centers, they will focus on the different areas, knowledge, networking, service, so it functions, and it's a fully functional center, very impressive. Maybe one of the tours when you need to go and visit sites, this is a place which you need to go and visit. It's always in one place, it's the exhibitions at the origin center, then there are the laboratories with modern equipment, which they're using for dating of this. So it would be a worthwhile visit to just go and look at that. But we're also using it to develop human capital. You'll be able to interact with the students, postgraduate students that are working there. Some of them are designing some of the machines, what they need to change in order to measure what they want to do. So it's an exciting space to visit as a portfolio committee. Well, in the research outputs, as you can see, the trend is on the rise. Since the strategy, we can say that after the 2012-2013, you can see there's a chapter shooting up, so we're putting our investment in the right place. In terms of the human capital, we are investing in bursaries for postgraduates and postdoctoral researchers. Some of this work really requires postdoctoral work. It's a specialized area, so if you look at a number like 60 bursaries, it actually beginner trend because it's a specialized area. We're also trying to bridge the gap between the graduates and the established undergraduate researchers. So within this area, we look at any researchers, and so issues of transformation have been placed strongly on the agenda of this institution. We recently visited them just to make sure that, because we often monitor what's happening around that. Job creation program for skilled personnel. There are a lot of people who have been working as technicians, but they may not have had the skills and the certification. So we also focus on internally the people that work there, how to make sure that they also benefit in terms of their qualification. So we invest a lot in there. And it's one of the things that when you visit as well, you'll be able to see how do they identify fossil from a big rock and begin to take it out painfully, slowly, bit by bit. And that requires really high skills to be able to do that. And in addition to the human capital, we look at the infrastructure. And before you here is a very sophisticated a micro focus X-ray computer tomography scanner. Now we can just say a CT scanner in short, and it's able, when as the illustration is showing, to get internally into the fossil and be able to give us what is inside. So this has made it a fascinating aspect of the research, and so this is quite part of the work that we do. There's also another type of instrument that we are able to do. Maybe looking on the two pictures in there, somewhat around there, this is what that machine is able to do. Get us from what you see as a rock to bring the whole body and structure around so we can understand this species. Now, in terms of dating, we have also been using the synchron. In the past, we've used other facilities, such as in Geneva and in Brazil, but now we have our own facility at the Timber Labs, so we are able to date.
Chair, just to explain again, both of these slides, this one here and the next one, introduce the honourable members to the technology of essentially scanning a piece of rock which you know there's a fossil in. But if you want to actually excavate that rock, if you want to pick it apart piece by piece to display the fossil inside, it's a very, very arduous task, because the rocks have to be chipped away piece by piece, and you never know if you're breaking away a piece of the fossilized bone, because the bone, by being fossilized, it's effectively become like a rock.
Mm.
And so it's very difficult, and so the modern methods nowadays are trying to avoid excavations, which are the things we've all seen, you know, when you see a skull from Stapontane, that used to be embedded in rock somewhere, and over 2 or 3 years, some people had to sit there and chip it away. Nowadays, we can just take that piece of rock and we scan it, using either X-rays or neutrons, and you get these images. So this one here is an X-ray machine that we've installed at Pitt's University. Now, X-rays can give you some detail, some information about what's in that rock, but they don't give you as much information as a synchrotron facility does, which gives you much higher resolution. So those pictures at the top right-hand side there, that's of a rock that's been scanned through this machine, which sits in Global in France. And essentially you can see there at least two different animals that have died, possibly three, two different animals that when they died, they died on each other, as it were. The story about this one, I think, is the idea is that they probably hid away in a hole somewhere. There was a flood or something,
yeah.
And these animals crawled into this cave, this little hole, mm-hmm. to hide away from the rain or the flood or whatever, and ended up dying there. And because they were trapped in this hole, they essentially became fossilized in the hole. Now, there's no way you could excavate something like this out of the rock, but the X-ray allows you to identify two different species
or even three, I'm not completely sure, are animals there. And so it gives you information that you couldn't possibly get by chipping away at the rock until you get to what you think is the bone as compared to the rock. So these are really critical high-tech methods of unraveling paleoscience information, paleolithic information, some of which we can access in South Africa, but these synchrotron facilities, we have an agreement with the, it's called European Synchrotron Radiation Facility, ESRF, in Global. In terms of this agreement, we pay them a certain amount of money every year, and the South African scientists can go and use their machine to scan the samples that they have. So that's where these pictures come from. Thank you.
And maybe just while we're looking at the footnote, we need to get our young people who are physicists and engineers to come and work on this. So it's not just plant sciences, we're combining the fields in order to advance this work. Right.
Perhaps to make the link also, Chair, sorry for the interruption, to the presentation you had last week on cyber infrastructure, on high performance computing. All of these technologies require very high computing powers, because the sending these scans through these rocks generates huge amounts of data, and all of that has to be processed. And so there's a strong link between this technology and the high performance computing cyber infrastructure programs that you were introduced to last week.
Right. From that source, from the infrastructure, now we're looking at the institutional arrangements, the support that we give to the museums. Much of the natural science museums do not fall under the DST portfolio. They fall under the Department of Arts and Culture. But we have an interest in preserving those collections because it's part of our heritage and also it's part of our research collection. So to a certain extent, we began to work with them to strengthen those capacities of making sure that they maintain the collections at the levels where they can be accessible. So we're making funds, and we made some funds in the past year, and we are now at the moment developing a scientific collections strategy so that we can then have a long-term perspective instead of one-off investment into that, so that we then can also argue that as part of the scientific collections, we have a responsibility over the maintenance and upkeep going into the future. So that's where we are actually looking at the institutional development around that. We possibly, as a part of our near future, will have to be using this strategy, make a bid to the National Treasury. But this is costly. And scientific research infrastructure will not only look at the museums, they will look at the collections that we have at the research councils, such as the MRSC, the Agricultural Research Council, the Gene Banks, and all those who need to fall under such a strategy in order to avoid. And so this we have started within the department to push. Then we have the African Origins platform. And in this platform, we're looking at the funding that is going there, but there's a lot more activity that we have under the platform, a lot of in terms of outreach to any other institutions. In this particular case, we're just showing the investment, the funding, which are linked to that. So there's the research funding, there's the technical skills, there's equipment, there's the public awareness, and then there's also SASTA, chairs, and centers of excellence. So we have tended to use all the instruments that we have under the DSA into this as a platform to extend the knowledge generation and also bringing science into society through public awareness. And around the international cooperation, we've had a lot of interactions. Within the, I think the Chinese have been advancing in paleo science and pushing to these frontiers. We've had to take our own paleo sciences to the Shanghai Expo as part of sharing our wealth with the rest of the world. And that was quite successful, a lot of building on the relationship that we have with China. But we're also working hard within the African context in terms of science work. As you know, Tanzania and Kenya, a lot of work has gone on in the biosciences in that area. So we're pushing our frontiers in those areas. I want to acknowledge and say that we're training a lot of their scientists through our institutions and they go back to their countries as part of the support. In terms of, I'm actually going towards closure by indicating the goal that we've set for us. We're going through this area on to indicate that these are the goals, and looking at goal number one and the number of indicators that we've set up, we have developed mobile exhibitions, and at least there's been one that is going on. There's a lot more that we haven't captured. There's another one which is 99.9% alike. Using biosciences knowledge, there's a global campaign that is in preparation to say that all humankind are 99.9% alike. And this has been sought, at the moment it sounds negative, but it's been sought to FIFA in terms of the racism in sports, to use this campaign to pursue it, to change the minds. And we're using it within the country as well to go around the schools as part of our social cohesion mechanism. And so we're preparing to use the basic of science around that. We've also looked at the support material. The target that we've set is 3, but we've developed 1. But I guess as we gain momentum, we're going to move more quicker into that. In terms of the grants awarded, I think that we seem to be doing quite well in the research grants. And in the batteries, we seem to have outperformed the target, or we're almost there, and this is increasing almost on an annual basis. So we're making, I think, serious strides around that. The number of research posts that we seem to have developed, we have 3 such chairs and 1 sense of excellence. So in terms of that, we still feel that this, we need to make more progress on this one, and that's why we indicated it in the red. I have visited the Centre of Excellence for our discussions with them as to creative ways in which they could begin to create new posts around this area. So we are monitoring the areas that are in red. For the museums, we've had discussions within the museum context. What is it that could be done? So the strategy will come up with ways of tackling this issue, which is in red. So we hope that we will make more progress, and it's the scope of the DSC, so we'll negotiate with them around that. On the policy instruments, it's, we are happy with the progress that's being made, at least within the museum sector, we are making progress around the policy instruments. We're finding them, as an example, with the NRF to interface in that. The broadband connectivity, this, I think that we haven't made as much progress, but this is a question of really negotiation. One would say that we have written to the Minister of Science and Technology, to the Minister of Arts and Culture, to give us support, to able to tackle some of these issues. So from our side, I would say that we advise to seek an MOU around this issue. And it hasn't really come to be. Maybe it could be through the change of ministers of arts and culture. But it's an area where we think that political leadership is required, and we haven't made as much progress in this front. In terms of tourism, this is beginning to take place. This year, we already had some, at a higher level, political advisors involved to have a discussion on how we can work with the Department of Tourism, and especially in declaration of some of the sites as World Heritage Sites. So we're beginning to push in that area, so we are happy with the progress made in that. In transforming the mind of South Africans, I did talk about that, and the involvement of materials, I think that was more or less of a repeat, and the connectivity, we talked about that. I think that I will just ask for your indulgence. These are repeat slides.
So in fact, the indicators are linked simultaneously to two different strategic objectives. That is what's happening here. That's why they're repeating themselves.
Well, on the science engagement, this is now just to show some of the materials. We've given you the figures, but this is an illustration of some of the work that is going on. In this is a time fabulous, it's a portfolio of human prehistories, and this is it's a booklet that has been published, and we circulated in schools around that. And maybe you could speak to this.
Chair, with your permission, can we ask Ms. Scotland to talk to this portfolio, because she manages these things directly, and I think it would benefit our presentation if she could talk directly to these.
Basically, what is going on here, in part of the first goal of strategy, which is trying to transform the perception of Africans and of the world on paleosciences, we started by developing a number of booklets. Primarily for the school learners. We also have developed booklets for tourism, which we have distributed to a number of tourist sites within the country. We also have a generic booklet which was used as an income generating booklet for the small museums within the country, some of the lesser known small museums within communities. We have one really big game in the Northern Cape, so for those communities to be able to generate income selling them. But these will be provided by ourselves in conjunction with the Department of Tourism. This is an example of one of the booklets. The next slide, please. Also, the very important work that is being undertaken in this field is on awareness. With a private partnership that we have with an NGO called the Paleoscience Scientific Trust, which is a trust. They've done wonderful work in this field. They've been operating for at least 20 years. We've been funding their awareness campaigns, the most prolific one being the Walking Tall, which is a theater play where they go into schools in the country to just have to relay the message of paleoscience in a theatrical manner. Actually, it has been expanded beyond our borders. They've gone to Namibia, Tanzania, Kenya, and they've actually gone even as far as the US. And yes, Belgium and Sweden, and they're actually planning on expanding it worldwide. So this is one of our of their premier awareness campaigns. And this organization has also done a whole lot of work on trying to initiate dialogue on what paleoscience is and trying to work on the concept of social cohesion by having public lectures that illustrate that the role of paleoscience as to indicating what our similarities are. One of the most premier ones that they had was a talk which they held in Germany, in Soweto, on skin color. You know, they brought in a literature in the field of anthropology to discuss skin color. Why is it that people look the way we do? Why is it that my complexion is darker than the other person? So they tried to initiate a girls kind of dialogue, which is very important, particularly in the recent times with the things that we're seeing in our country. So this is going to be one of, going forward, we are going to some of the lectures that will be putting across the country, even across the continent, to try to initiate that dialogue as to what our differences mean and focus more on our similarities rather than our differences. And also, this is also a huge project that is happening in the Southern Coast, particularly when you get the Langebaan, the Blombos area. We've had a lot of awareness being undertaken to demonstrate the image of modern human behavior, the things that we know as modern humans, our technology, ourselves, the way we look, how is it that humans look, the way we do so, we've undertaken to support this project as well. Next slide. And this is just an expansion of the that has been undertaken in the Langebaan. You can see tourists being given a lecture by one of the tour guides there. Next slide. And this has been our premier booklet. It's a learner guide that was developed in 2012, but it was distributed in 2015 by South African Agency for Science and Technology Advancement, SASTA. It's one of the books that we currently use to engage learners on careers in the kind of sciences, trying to attract the human capital that we will need to take this work forward. This is just an extension of This is also just an extension of the Lena Guide, just to indicate the chronological history of Africa, of the world, where we come from, what was happening 100,000 years ago, what was happening through to the most recent, even the census 10,000 years ago is recent. So from 100,000 years to the most recent times, it just gives a chronological overview of what happened, and to link to that is the kind of career that can come out of this field. Actually, palisades is quite a broad field, not just related to the historical aspect. It's so broad that when kids are being taken through the chronology, they're able to see the kind of careers that they can be interested in the paleosciences. This is the paleosciences guide that I talked about that we tried to distribute to local communities, so the small museums which they are using also as part of their income generating program. And I think Professor Philip will take over.
So to thank you very much. To a lesser extent, I think that our footprint has covered most of what has been put in the strategy. We've made sufficient progress. As you could see, the reds are lesser than the green. We are starting to fight to say that in terms of the targets, by 2019, we'll be able to meet those targets. However, as we revisit this, we're beginning to see new horizons around this work. Just as my colleagues came, Dr. Thomas came and presented the marine work, we're taking paleosciences into the marine work. How do we begin to go deeper and begin to look at that? The earth system sciences are also around biodiversity. So we're beginning to look at the issue of this carbon consumption and all that. So we're using paleosciences and analyzing the fossils to see to what extent can they review the kinds of environments the plants were growing in. So we're trying to make sure that this paleosciences, there's a development of multidisciplinarity and interdisciplinarity within the field. So that's one of the opportunities that has emerged as a result of the realignment of putting all this work under one portfolio. So we want to push that and see at the next generation the new dimensions of products that can come out of it. The other obvious areas would be, of course, an increased support for large infrastructure. This work is very specialized work. There will always be need to have sufficient resources to invest in infrastructure to develop that. In terms of the research training, we have noted that as much as we have done a lot of training for Kenyans and Tanzanians, we need to focus on our internal South Africans to push these dimensions. We have looked at the work in terms of the publications. I think that the centers and all that are pushing forward. In terms of the work on the museums, this will require political muscle to bring the departments together, and especially the departments responsible for museums, that is the Department of Arts and Culture with that of science and technology. So there is a lot more work required at the political level in that area. In the monitoring of the implementation, I think that it's an ongoing activity that we're involved in. Through visitations, but also we do it at the professional level with having annual assessments of the implementation of the strategy by using task teams to do that. So that we will continue to do that. In terms of the DST and NRF, we will continue to commission international reviews of this strategy, not just ourselves, at the end of the five-year period, we shall involve the international community into that. So I should hand over to my boss here.
Thank you very much, Yona. Honourable members and Chair, just to say, this is a symbolically very important part of our research program. You're all familiar with the concept of the cradle of humankind, and the, I think, now well-established fact that humanity has its origins within Southern Africa. So as a species, we have our origins here.
equally important, there is evidence, fossil evidence also, that conceptual thinking also has its origins in South Africa. And the Gompos Cave, which Dipuo referred to earlier on, is a cave in the southern Cape here where a piece of bone was found on which are etched patterns. And they can only have been etched on there by human beings. And it's the first evidence, the earliest evidence we have of a human having created something conceptual out of their minds. It's the first evidence. You know, using a stone to chip away a skin off a bone or something like that is not necessarily conceptual thinking. Animals do that too. But etching something into a stone, carving pattern into a stone, a regular geometric pattern into a bone, is a human activity. It's the earliest example that has been found ever. So conceptual thinking also seems to have its origins in Southern Africa. And both of these things are hugely symbolic to us as a nation and to our scientific activities as well. So this is really the essence of the geographic advantage that we have in paleosciences. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Thomas. You can see the hands are coming up. The hands are coming up. They're really itching to ask you a lot of questions. Maybe members, if I could just make this comment, I'm not asking the question. But you know, the worst thing that you can do to a human being is not to train them to be able to be thinkers, to think laterally, and not be confined on the particular thing. Probably, I'll have to mention this, that whether we like it or not, the apartheid was there to everybody. I mean, listening to some of the things, it was very bad. It was making us, all of us, not to be open, but to follow what has been done by somebody else on both sides. And we were not trained to be thinkers. And now this is the thing, because you ask yourself, okay, paleoscience, if you could say paleoscience, perhaps we have people who are not interested in some of the things. But the question is, so what? So what after paleoscience? So what? But when you listen and you think broadly and you think out of the box, there's a lot of things that if you follow what's happening, it can even change your attitude. The only attitude that I don't want it to change me is to think that there's no God. And if I would like Benny to come here so that we can debate even that part, honestly, who Benny Fanner of, I know he came that he was an atheist, but I would like him, I hope we can meet him one day again and talk about some of the things. Because irrespective of this, we still think that there was God there. I see people who agree with me beyond this. And it brings out the point that we have always said as members here, is that obviously the money that you are getting from government is not enough. I'm looking at those machines that you were saying you are using. Obviously those machines, I'm not sure whether I got because of that, it seems as if you're saying some of those machines are not, we still don't have them in South Africa. So we are actually competing in the global world, but we seem not to compete with them as far as the percentage of the GDP that goes to you. And that is brought about by the same question that I was talking about, that if the leadership, the elected members, don't understand, they're asking you, so what? They won't put in money into that. Because they're asking themselves, so what? Palestine, so what after that? But if they can understand it, they can have a deeper understanding of what is going on. And the question that we ask ourselves, how much does Treasury understand what they're trying to do? Beyond just saying, this is a fossil, this is the things that you have mentioned here, that can actually make us understand why am I black, why the other one is white. I mean, all those questions, and Latarantula. Does Mr. Fuzile would teach you for treasure understand this? So when you're asking him for money, he would actually take the money and say, let me take it to Safa rather than bring it here, because I know it's we wonder what him to win. But this is more than him winning the FIFA, the World Cup. This is more than winning the World Cup. And these are the things that we don't know. And we want to find a way of how do we make the leadership understand what we're trying to do, what you are trying to do, and how can it change us. Like now, all I'm thinking is that I want money. I want tenders. As young as 16 years old, 18 years old, I want to go to the area where there's proper men. Because I think life is about money. I don't think life is about knowing where you come from and how you... And when I die, I leave that money. I don't even know who handles that money when I'm dead. But if people could understand where I come from and leave them in peace and be... improve the humankind, that would change the rest. So I think it is... It's bringing a lot of questions, a lot of thinking, a lot of deep thinking when you say hello. And you can see not many members like science, members of parliament, talk about those people that elect. They don't like science because they're asking, pardon and so what? But if you are able to do as you have done, to convince us that there's more, that we can get out of this, and we can change our attitude, you will see what will happen. Because I think the origin of us are actually here. They're not someone else they're here. It's worth to know that most of the things originated in Africa. And these are some things that we can end outside, and you can actually improve a lot of things. How the relationship should go, how the tourism should improve, and so on. But those were just the comments. Okay, but I saw you, Malinda. I saw Anneli.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you for the presentation. Actually, Dr. Juma started where I wanted to the cradle of humankind. I was worried that it's not mentioned here. You see, because I think there was a also an error that was identified to as a study visit. And I was just worried, you're not mentioning Mrs. Bless, you're not mentioning, you know, all the good work. And I think it was we're not helping some people serving in this agriculture. That's when the discoveries were made. And the late professor made social activities. But also what's interesting there, I think when the committee goes there's got the facility to take a blood sample and trace it to the origin. They can tell that it's got Italian blood or whatever. Yeah, I think my main concern about that. But I also wanted to, I think Dr. Sedek tried to explain later the collaboration between the departments, which is very important, so that then we push the resources in one and not working in silos. I just want to find out when you are done with this, do you then hand it over to Urban Culture? And also I think the Department of Tourism is important in this area. But I also know, looking at the slide where you have your thank you for your attention, there's also the Ghana Trail. When you go to those caves in Haldeklepefu, you find these drawings there, and it was the trail of the Zwanas, which I think is important for especially the young, the school children to know about it. And I just wanted to find out on funding, who funds more? Is it science and technology or is it art and culture? In those that are related to where this art collaboration is supposed to be with art and culture. Because I think sometimes other departments don't bring much then science and technology is actually helping them to discover some of the new areas that relate to them. And then with our smaller budget, we have to still find things that those line departments are supposed to put in money in, so that then you help them with the research and discoveries. Yeah, that's the chair. I will leave it at that.
Okay. I went to the human friends of humankind, and when we got up there, the debate that we had was at the end. And when I talked to Shanaza about going there, she said they went there as a committee before we came. And when they went out of that, they said the debate was heavy. About talking myself, the other thing. So we must prepare ourselves that we won't be like I think that's when you go there. So that you understand the human kind.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I have to say that this is my big interest, is paleontology. First of all, I have a number of questions and concerns. The one concern I have, and I think this was also mentioned now, is the fact of this overlap between science and technology and art and culture. Now, I was, for some time years ago, member of the Art and Culture Portfolio Committee, and the state of museums is not what it should be, and I'm concerned that all this work is being done, but the preservation and maintenance of those facilities is a problem and is not within the hands of this department. So, Chair, I would offer perhaps we look at having a joint meeting at some time to discuss this, because this is critical. It doesn't happen. Science and technology doing all this wonderful work, but then it's not preserved and maintained for the generation to come. Then also in the presentation, as I said, and I still agree, and I think we are not capitalizing on this, and this is the unique situation of South Africa and Southern Africa in terms of paleontology and the history of humankind and of nature. And this is because we don't invest in it. And I would like to ask Dr. Arthur Hayden and Mr. Leti, why don't we have, for example, a synchrotron city? Africa is the only continent where there isn't one. We have how many scientists specialized in synchrotron radiation? Why can't we invest in this? We've invested in the SKA, which is to a large extent also not looking in the future but looking back. Why can't we invest in that? Because given the rich sources we have here. Then I would also like to find out to what extent was the department involved in the Australopithecus sediba discoveries, and if you were, are you still involved with the ongoing processes there, because it is time consuming. I suppose it's also quite capital intensive to a certain degree. And then of course the whole thing about tourism. This is a selling point for South Africa because it's unique in the world, and I just don't get the sense that we are really doing enough. Now I know it's not this department's responsibility, but maybe, Chair, we should also have a discussion with the Department of Tourism. So this is really to have paleontology tourism packages, because I mean what we can offer, just look at Lombos, at Langebaan. We could also go there. It's very interesting to go there and have a look at your actually do your own little bit of digging for bones and whatever. So I think this section, and I guess my last question, in terms of the total budget, because I haven't looked at this specifically, what percentage, if it's possible, does this particular section comprise of the total DST budget? Because I have a sense it's totally underfunded.
Thank you, Anna. Those are some of the things that, in fact, it makes us very happy that we've got politicians who understand what they're doing. And it gives us hope that we are going to be, one day we're going to be there, because that's where we should have started. Even trying to sort out some of the problems, but we have not been trained to think laterally. And I mean, you just see it tragedy of Manchester was I stay in rural areas. If someone buys a kumbi and makes a lot of money, all we do is to follow that person and buy another kumbi. And all of you die, you end up not having money because you're competing. Instead of saying, okay, he's bought a kumbi, I'll do something else. Bill or something, but we just follow what the other one has done. That's why I'm saying some of the things that we had in the past were dangerous to all of us instead of improving. And I think this is one area that we're holding. But I'm sure you answer some of those pertinent questions that are coming from our MLA, which are making me more enthusiastic. That I think that maybe I know you're asking them. But I think some of those questions should be coming to us. Because we are the leaders, we are the elected people. And if we understand this, it's going to be easier to convince treasurers and to convince us and culture. And sometimes you're actually going even to the question, would we pay some of these things? I think part of this is that we don't understand how important is our part. That's how we keep on picking some of the things. I was once in they put my name in one of the clinics that it's a different Kokona clinic. Then I said, hey, but when I said they'll pay that boy, and they said this man was wrong, then they said they need it. Maybe the machine that the while I'm still alive. Was it Nick?
Thank you, Jay Person. You know, if I listen to her and I listen to you, I'm just getting the impression we're sinking deeper into the silo approach in this country. Everybody is just looking after their own little silo, and we there's no cross talking to each other. So I think she illustrated it quite correctly. This synchrotron machine, you know, please, I'm not a technologist, I don't know how or what it is, but what will the cost be? You know, what is the investment going to be for to have one in South Africa, for the continent of Africa? And then, in terms of the legislation, is our legislation up to speed? Is it modern to protect this, what we've got, especially our caves? If not, what can we do to assist there? And then finally, the caves, the Pinnacle Point, are they really of any significance? Or is the Blombos ones the real ones we should care about?
Yes, Nicholas, I wanted to commit to have little minds like you and Marlene, so that to remind us that we can legislate. Though we need the passion of beyond the legislation, we need the passion from the people. Because if you ask the young kids about this, do they know about the cradle of humankind? There are places that I don't know, and most of us don't know that are in South Africa that have got to do this. And what should we do? Should we legislate so that people would understand? That's it, very much.
Just to add to that, what makes me also concerned is, once again, also the different departments. The Cedarfort Dome falls under the Department of Environmental Affairs, and that's all heritage sites. And it's also not being preserved well. So it's all these different sections.
On the issue of educational, you know, my grandson is telling me, but he's just mad about dinosaurs. It's kindergarten, you know, where, and I think we need to do more from that age so that we can do that within them. But I think it's a good thing, yeah, but that is then the maybe collaboration, social development and basic education. So there's a need for us to have quite a number of joint committee meetings. Quite a number of committees.
Thank you. I think I must make this comment before you go. I think we, for some reason, we have been conservative on things that money is everything. and all we are fighting, about power and money. It is true. It's so nice when I go to Maserati garage and they tell me that this car is 4 million and I just finance it for 4 million. It's really nice. But when I think before that, you should understand the humankind and know that you are a human because of other humans. And in fact, you become richer by so doing. I don't have to quote, but there are people that I know that came out of jail, been poor, like Mandela, officer. And by the end, I mean, and people were fighting over his money. Yes, he came out of jail with nothing, but the only thing that made him to be there was the liking of people. And we always forget that we want to start by having a lot of money. And I think some of these things, we forget that passion is more than money. And we can do a lot just being passionate without money. Hence, the development is moving with a smaller percentage to other countries. And moving irrespective of that, because there's that passion that it has in there. Whereas if you've got resources, you might not move if you don't have passion. Even if you've got money, you might not be able to move. But you tell us, but we need to change that attitude. Not that money is not important, but people must know that there must be lateral thinkers and try and do what is good for humankind. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the honourable members. I will start off with a few responses, and I'm going to invite Dr. Seleke and Ms. Hossein, perhaps with your permission, to pick up on some of the items as well, particularly I think Ms. Hawking was really close to some of the projects, maybe able to provide us with insight into her lived experience at the interface between our work and that of other departments that I don't, you know, have personal insight into. So if you, with your permission. But just to start off by saying, I think you're right. Many of you have commented, honourable members, on the importance of paleosciences. And, you know, I think paleontology, paleoscience is like astronomy, really confronts us with the essence of who we are. And all these social developments since then, the question of power and wealth and so on, these are really all superficial. They're all piled on top of what we are at the essence. And these sorts of studies really bring us back to the evidence. You know, how you interpret that, to go back to your opening comment, whether you interpret that as a sublime intervention or a natural phenomenon, those are different issues, which certainly, as you said, someone can have interesting debates on. But that's what it brings us back to the essence, contemplating the data that is uncovered through astronomy and through paleosciences. There can be no doubt about that, and it is data, and there's no doubt about that too, at least in my mind. So thank you for your comment in this regard. All of you, including the comment from the chair, have expressed concerns and questions about the nature of the shared responsibilities around this between this department and numerous other government departments. By now, I'm sure, Chair and honourable members, this should no longer take you by surprise, because science and technology, as you yourselves have said, you know, is so overarching. It impacts on just about every aspect of our lives. It's therefore completely logical that the functions of this department would interface with the functions of many other departments. Last week you spoke about the Department of Communications in terms of our involvement in broadband connectivity for research institutions. A week or two before that, we spoke about that interface with the Department of Environment Affairs around marine and Arctic research. You will have had presentations here on a work this department does in the area of commercialization, technology transfer, or technology development, where there's close interface with DTI. So really, this is not unique in that sense. That's the first point I wanted to make. The second point I want to make is that you also know that in managing things jokey like that, there are some things that go well and there are other things that
don't go so well. You have positive stories to tell, and you have some negative stories on which you can learn. And the same thing applies to this. There are a number of examples, and perhaps my colleagues can talk about examples that are directly relevant in this area here, where we're making really good progress jointly with other departments. I've previously shared some insight with the honourable members on things we've done jointly with the Department of Higher Education and Training, where we've made real progress. For example, we managed to clarify who's responsible for broadband connectivity to the universities, who's responsible for funding what part of it. So, you know, that was very helpful. Another example, which I can mention to you now, we've just received confirmation from the Eastern Cape Department of Education that they would fund the long-term operating cost of the science centre in Tofimbaba. We have made provision to fund the capital costs of establishing the science centre, but we were not in position to make that investment until we knew that the operating costs of the science centre would be underwritten by our partners in this particular project, and we've received confirmation of that now written. So, you know, there are many positive examples, and I'm sure there are in this case too, where our engagement with other departments really is enabling us to move forward jointly. But equally, we need to understand that for a range of usually good reasons, you know, another department may not always be in exactly the same position to act on something as we are. Or sometimes maybe they need to act on something and we're not. So that does also happen. But maybe my colleagues can give you some examples of successful interfacing with art and culture, for example, possibly with tourism on some of these things. With regard to Treasury, we think we have very cordial relations with Treasury. In this particular area, we haven't approached Treasury for a number of years now to ask for an injection of money. Right now, approaching Treasury for an injection of money for anything is rather difficult, you'll appreciate. But we have had relations with the Treasury and engagements with them. For example, we are this year injecting, as the Minister announced in her budget speech, 400 million new rand to human capital development. Now, it's true that this is money Treasury, in a sense, secured for us 2 or 3 years ago, but nonetheless, it's new money that Treasury, on the basis of understanding the importance of the work we're doing in human capital development, has been able to make available. Now, it might have been easier 2 or 3 years to promise new money than it is right now. But my point is that Treasury is receptive to approaches from the department, but they clearly have to balance the books. That's perhaps a response on intergovernmental relations overall from me, and I'll ask my colleagues then to add some more details. I'd like to come perhaps then to the next high-level issue that was raised by Dr. Lotrice and Mr. Kornhoff, was about the idea of the possibility of establishing a synchrotron facility in South Africa. Now, for the foreseeable future, this is not a feasible proposition. For the following reason, establishing such a facility is a huge undertaking. The European Synchrotron Radiation Facility, the ESRF, is a multilateral international scientific institution of the scale that the SKA is going to be at. So from the point of view of the organizational effort involved, it's not just buying a piece of equipment, even if it's a 50 million rand piece of equipment, and putting it someplace. It's an endeavor. It's an international organization. It's a big operation. So both from the point of view of having established it and running it, the process of constructing such a big facility required itself also for huge amounts of capital investment, but massive engineering effort as well. And to be quite frank, the SKA project is quite a big task for us in South Africa. And although at the moment we're making really good progress on building the aircraft, and all the indications are we'll stick to the scheme and deliver on the indications of having 32 dishes up by the end of this year, and I think the full 64 by the end of the next financial year. Once the SKA starts getting built, for the first 2 years we're going to move from 64 dishes to roughly 200 dishes, and then for the next 3 or 4 years after that we're going to move to 2,500 dishes. That's a huge scientific engineering
engineering exercise in South Africa. And we need to be very careful about the choice of our next project, big scientific engineering project along these lines. And I'm not certain that for the near future the synchrotron would be a feasible proposition. A, because of the cost involved, B, because of the effort involved, but C, and this is perhaps the most important one, is the usage of such an infrastructure in South Africa at the moment would be completely and utterly undersubscribed. We have bought a small percentage of the time in this machine in Grenoble, this ESRS that I was talking about. We bought a small percentage of that time annually for South African scientific use. I think that is being used fairly efficiently and effectively at the moment, but it's not as if it's totally and utterly oversubscribed and we could be buying a huge portion of the time on that machine. So the need for such a machine in South Africa and across the continent at the moment just does not justify taking forward this particular discussion at this particular point. But recognizing the need for access to this facility, we have a formally structured agreement with the European facility, and there are two or three other similar facilities in Europe that we also have access, we've secured access for South African researchers to. So at the moment, South African researchers cannot complain about not having access to synchrotron facilities. They do. But it's not a facility that we can justify in the near future targeting as the essential of the project. The specific question that Dr. Lafitte asked about the
on the synchrotron facility, if discussions are facilitated through the Science and Technology Ministerial thing of Africa. So I think from my point, and maybe my colleagues, CHL as a facility for Africa, if you say a better Africa, because that it means that you keep on spending to go to France and the rest of the continent probably if they want to the utilization thereof, and it's benefiting Europeans in the main, and we're talking of a better Africa. I know that probably not in the now this financial year, the next financial year, maybe but of in 10 years, but I think the department should look at the consideration that and put it also to that ministerial meeting that I was talking about.
On a positive side, as an official of the department, you are in DFC. You're looking at the money that you get from treasure. It's a very big project. But the fact that it has been taken by politicians, that makes me happy on the positive side. That the fact that they know about it, they're going to start debating about it and seeing and understanding what it means for Africa, what it means for South Africa, that's a good point. So as an official, this is how far you can go. But now that it has been taken by politicians, even if they change themselves, but it doesn't matter, but they have said in their record that something like this that needs to be debated. It's a very positive thing for me.
Thank you for both of those interventions. I agree with those points, and Honourable Maseko, we are engaging with the debate. I was just indicating to you what currently our thinking of the department is around this. We do have, as the honourable members may be aware, a number of other scientific and technical platforms in South Africa that we've established here on the African continent. For example, the African Naval Centre, which is housed at the CSIR, is a platform that has been established for exactly these sorts of purposes of scientific diplomacy and capacity development and provision of high quality infrastructure for African science development. And I think it's perhaps, you know, this discussion about the possibility of an African life source, as they are referring to this project, should really take place within the context of South Africa's overall investments in the provision of scientific infrastructure for engagement with Africa. It shouldn't happen on its own. It should happen within that context. and financial perspective. So this would be our interest in enlarging that discussion within the overall context. But your points are well taken. Thank you. On the Australopithecus sediba, perhaps my colleagues can talk more about the DST's involvement, but I am fairly sure that the pictures the honourable members may have seen of that skull, those pictures were obtained at the ESRF, the synchrotron facility in France that we're facilitating South African research. Those pictures, I think, were obtained through a cooperation between South African researchers and researchers at that facility. Yeah, so they've confirmed that. And so this is one example that come out of that sort of international cooperation. And we, to the best of my knowledge, we've been involved in funding those activities, certainly at least in terms of access to the synchrotron facility, but my colleagues may be able to give some more information on that. With regard to the question of the overlap with tourism and the question of the Southern Cape facility, I think Dr. Lutri and Mr. Kunoff addressed this. I can't talk to the relative merits of the Pinnacle Point versus the Blombos cage. I don't know if any of my colleagues are able to either. I think this is something that I just need to evaluate. We're probably not in a position to comment on it. However, I have seen just a week or two ago a very ambitious proposal for developing a kind of a paleotourism site in the Southern Cape. I'm not sure if it's around Pinnacle Point or Blombos or both, but a very ambitious one. Coincidentally, two or three evenings later, I happened to be on the same plane as our former Deputy Minister and our Minister of Tourism about this, and I converted him to it. I haven't yet had the opportunity to send him the proposal, even less for us to start having a discussion about it. But I think those of you who know Minister Heinepom will know that, like Dr. Lokit, his heart is very close to the area of paleontology, paleosciences. And he's very interested in this, and his position as Minister of Tourism probably is to everybody's advantage in terms of extracting tourism value out of the work that's happening here. But it's not something that's going to happen yesterday. It will take some time, particularly in the current financial circumstances. But it is something that, as I said, we are exploring with the department. On the question of the budget, we've just quickly done a thumbsuck. Now, we think that our total annual budget at the moment is about 25 million rand, but that doesn't include, I think, our ESRF annual contribution is about 10 million rand. So that's not included in that. So I think that's about 30, so that would be about 35 million bookers. But the ESRF, the access to that synchrotron facility in France, it's not only for paleo sciences, it's used for a range of other scientific purposes as well. So that's the ballpark. So between 20 and 30 million per annum is roughly that what we're spending on paleo sciences at the moment. And it's true that by comparison to the strategic value of this area of research to South Africa, we are not spending enough on this. And like all government departments, we're undergoing right now a process of reevaluating in very constrained circumstances our core strategic areas. And within our program, we have certainly identified a need to strengthen paleosciences as one of those, as part of our overall geographic advantage portfolio strengthening. That was also the background to the Marine and Antarctic research strategy that we presented to you a while ago. So we spent sort of from 2008 to 2013-14 focusing on building up on astronomy. Now we're moving to a phase where we need to extract value out of the rest of the geographic advanced areas. And that's why we've established this program, sub-program headed by Dr. Zanetti, specifically focused now on building up action programs and all these other areas apart from astronomy. So that's the medium-term approach that we're taking in this. And so I would ask now, perhaps, then my colleagues who, if they've got other specific comments on things I've already covered, but otherwise, perhaps, if there's something more on the Sediba involvement of the department there, some examples of our engagements with the arts and culture and possibly other departments that have really contributed to rolling out the strategy. On the question of legislation, I don't know if this may be able to talk to that a little bit.
I think otherwise pretty much most of the things have been covered. So if I could hand over to them.
Well, thank you very much. Maybe just to give a backdrop, as we thought we should share with you maybe a high-level approach, so we didn't get into the examples of the actual work, for example, the Cradle of Humankind. And I was telling myself before Honorable Matale asked about Mapungubwe, it's also part of the work that we are linked with in terms of looking at the rhinoceros remains as a connection from the heritage to the implication of paleosciences as the institutional building. Because there's a whole history looking through Stone Age and going through which is explained into that. So we haven't gone into the examples. But the question that was raised around the caves maybe allows us to say that the Bombos is just one of them. Last week, one of my teams on the IKS was in Northern Cape on the IKS bill consulting with the communities and it's the Sun communities. They were linking their work on astronomy, their involvement in that area, with also a desire to unearth their history. So they would want to conduct a tour of all the caves within South Africa, but also Southern Africa, as part of the understanding where they come from and where their linkages are. And this is under consideration, and it's under one same transmission. So we could pick up around that and come up with a range of connected work, from paleosciences to indigenous knowledge and environmental heritage sites around that. So it's a project that we'll definitely have an interest in, and has already been put on the table as such. We would probably look at it from an intellectual history perspective, as Dr. Ofsahai explained the origins of intellectual history in the world, and these are a portfolio of evidence that builds that history. So I thought that maybe I would just highlight on that. One part which I was involved, and my colleague will add on because she was the one running with the portfolio, at the time when they launched the exhibition and the announcement of Sediba, I was acting in the post that Dr. After Hyde was. So the DSC has been funding that work, and the DSC has also been promoting that work in terms of that. In the Shanghai Expo, we took replicas of Sediba to China to share with the scientists. First of all, there was a seminar on that, and then the exhibition which ran for 2 to 3 months around that. So that portfolio definitely has been, and the work that is continuing in that area, we're funding much of the work. It's really located within the African Origins Platform and the Center of Excellence at Leeds. So it is part of the mainstream. As to what extent this work, we are involving the Department of Arts and Culture. The Department of Arts and Culture do not fund much of the research. They fund the heritage site. So if we look at the Cradle of Humankind, it was the Department of Arts and Culture, nationally, and the Department of and the Government of Gauteng, which came together and put the resources to push through with that. So it's a shared responsibility, and we continue to support the knowledge being fed into that. And one of the small footnotes I thought we are beginning to discuss, we've had a meeting at a high level with tourism. We have also opened new doors with arts and culture. In the last 2 months, we've had a meeting with arts and culture. With the Department of Environmental Affairs, we have better relations because we're working on multiple fronts. We're with them. So we're in regular contact with them. So it is a possibility that we're going to visit this. But we want to talk more as a knowledge-based scientific tourism. We want to package it, and this way we can sell it wherever it is, because it will be very high value kind of tourism around that. So we have started the discussion around scientific tourism and using paleosciences as one of the portfolios. There will be others such as the FKA project. project analysis that package, and there's a lot more, but we will take part of the scientific tourism. But I just wanted to report back that work has started, we've initiated with departments of arts and culture, not at the ministerial level, but at our levels, to continue the discussion. With the tourism, it's at the ministerial level with the minister's advisor participating in the process of discussing around where we're going. So we'll pick up with speed as we have put it as one of our targets for the year to make sure that there is cohesion. We do not replicate what others are doing. We keep to our mandates and maintain that as part of the work. Where we haven't had a lot of interaction of late has been on the Mapungubwe side. But we will pick up on that area. We have the portfolio of the knowledge, but haven't had to draw them into the discussion, but we will do that as well, so that the footprint is a coordination. And
I just need to respond on the issue of legislation, whether we have the legislation protecting this. The legislation protecting this, the Public Sciences, the National Heritage Resources Act of 1999, which is under the mandate of the Department of Arts and Culture. So our involvement basically is on the research support. But the legislation is there, it's more than it is. It does protect the public sciences. I think the main challenge with the loose, like in other legislation, is on enforcement of the legislation. It is there, it is inclusive, it includes public sciences in all its aspects, but I think the challenge mainly is on enforcement of the legislation.
A quick comment a little more on that. The Department of Arts and Culture has done an audit of almost all the legislations, as you are aware of that. I don't wish we have had two white papers. There is a current one that is commenting on that. There is an aspect on the FARIO, but it's not a strong one. So it's we will participate and comment on that in terms of that. And then it is out of the white paper that probably they're going to revise for the heritage legislation. They are being put on hold. All of them need to be revised, including the one on the South African Heritage agencies. That's probably my participation in the different areas, including museums, libraries, and all that, has put me into that discussion with them around the legislation process. So we are aware of what's happening, and we will make our contribution. But probably maybe the portfolio committee would add on a strong hand on that. DDG, we didn't respond on some of the suggestions they've made, which I think we should express support. A joint meeting of the different committees to look at the way of taking biosciences forward. I think that would be a very strategic political move to highlight the significance of this area in social cohesion, in national identities, but also as a destination of high-level science that we contribute to that.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Thank you, Jonah. Thank you, Tibor.
Are you in any way involved or looking at astropaleontology, given the fact that we do have the SKA and everything, that we look at the history of the galaxies and combine that with paleontological perspective?
In pronouncing some of these words, I want you to look at the name of the president of the Big Island. You must have that name of the new president. Then you know how difficult it is.
It is a complex issue, but we are happy that the Hoi are willing to revisit their role in the SKA. So we'll begin probably with that process and then get back into what evidence it is that we can cover. Because I know that the read material evidence of the instruments that have been used by the SAN to get into the skies. So we'll, in the indigenous knowledge part, the discussion has already started. And even promote this multidisciplinarity and transdisciplinarity, because that is what will lead into what the chair is calling lateral thinking, breaking ground in scientific exploration by bringing in the different knowledge. So we will definitely take it up.
If Dr. Latrice's question was about bringing together paleontology and astronomy in prehistoric times, I'm not in a position to answer that. The astronomers would have to answer that. I don't know what the connections might be, but this was the question. Okay.
Thank you very much, Thomas. I think numbers have exhausted this the question, but maybe I must explain why that you tell the owner of Batelli didn't ask questions. So I don't think that he didn't understand what you say. But you correct me that you tell if I'm wrong. There's a thing, you will correct me if I'm wrong. It's my own thinking. That the more you are original in doing things, the more you are closer to understanding nature. Life is dynamic. And each being dynamic, I think let's be honest, we were moving in our own dynamic way in Africa. And then some of the countries were colonized. And in their being colonized, some of the things that they were doing, developing on their own pace, it was taken over and they had to jump certain steps. And between those certain steps, there was a gap between those certain questions, what was happening. And now it's difficult trying to go back and trace those steps because you have already done them. Whereas the others were moving accordingly, moving on their own, developing, understanding why am I developing that way. So the more rural you are, the more you've got time to think, and the more sometimes you remember, I think you were here, Thomas, when Honorable Batala asked a question, in this development and the new innovation, are we not going to destroy what is happening? I think it was that question was coming from you. And that was saying, we need to keep some of you know, I mean, if I can make a, it might be a wrong example that we talk of original foods. We talk of chicken that we're saying if you eat a chicken that was given here or whatnot, it's not good enough. You must go to the free roaming ones. Now we're moving backwards. Somebody might say you're moving backwards, but they are trying to connect the originality. And I think polysciences is exactly doing that. Hence, the matter is that question, don't give it as it's saying, I'm rural. That's why some of us are rural. It's because we've got some understanding, and we're moving in our own place and getting there. And it's easy to change and say, look, I understand it this way, and I'm moving in that direction. Because in some of our areas, we look at what gets done, we say, it's witchcraft. If some of it is not witchcraft, it's only that we don't have a deeper understanding of what is going on in that particular area, and we're not researched it. So we seem not to be connecting what we're doing and with what was happening, which I think with what I say, I might be wrong, I might be helping around, but I think there is somewhat connection with this. And you look at, I listened to, but I was not there, I listened to those people that were coming from Northern Cape when they were here, and there's some from Australia. The way they were connecting, they're illiterate, but the way they were connecting the moon, the stars, with what is going on now. I don't want to take you to a Muslim religion where they will tell you that such and such time the moon is going to come, and when the moon is coming this way, this is what you do. And when it comes to that time, connecting the universe with what is happening here. I don't have information, I don't know, but there are those connections that are happening. And there are other people who haven't gone to school, but there were those connections that they know, that it works. And I don't have to go to other things that say, at a certain time, you find there's more pregnancy at a certain time of the year. There's more pregnancy that is a particular time. You can't explain why it's like that, but it happens. It's just something that happens, but we can't explain why it is happening. Some people can even freak out and say, if you see this in the skies, the ghost is out. If you see this, it is going to change. But these are some of the things that I'm trying to explain. But thank you very much, Sona. You have got a name that cuts across all this name, you know, is one of the oldest names. It's there in all the languages. African, Johan, English, Son, Paul, Johan. And I see the feeling is actually your name. It's a name. Thank you, people. I think we are creating your presentation, Dr. Thomas. And it's very important to get to the passion that has come from the member. What I would like to say, if this passion going on and in infecting other parliamentarians, so that we could see science and technology as one of the key areas that we need to assist and make them. Because you've got two things to yourself. One is that you're playing in a global field. You are not in a developing country, but you're playing in a global field. And we've got to understand that when you're playing in a global field, you've got to compete at that level. The same one is transformation. It's not about transforming from apartheid to democratic dispensation, but it's always transforming the humankind, continuing to transform. Even if there was apartheid, there was no apartheid, we would continue having self-transforming and changing us through. So we accept, I think the legislation before might have been answered that there is a legislation. I'm not sure what the members are asking, but I think the members are saying, are there things that we can do now, in addition to what you said, is like to legislate and make sure that paleo science is taken, the attitude towards paleo science changes. Though laws cannot force people to do that. They're supposed to force people, but in forcing them, it's very difficult to monitor. But you can make them aware that there's these things, even by discussing those legislation, and even if you're not going to forget and copy them and monitor them. But people will be aware that there's a law that says we must do this, we must do that. Now we're still acting on passion. It's still passion. You can see the passion that will come from. It's that passion on their own. But the others don't even know, they don't even care about that passion. So things might not move. But it's good that we've got those legislation already, but we need to add more to it. And the only people that can do that, as the members, is Parliament that can pass those laws. If there are certain things that you want us to pass, so that the passion that we have doesn't die down continue to live. So we are supporting you all the way in this, as we have always supported you. When we are wrong, we'll tell you that we don't agree with you. But in these ones, we are just honest that it is good, and some of the things we know, but we're going to work on them and we're going to debate them. Thank you very much, Thomas, and your team. Members, I'm not sure whether you wanted to add something, but thank you very much for what other meetings that you're going to go to. And we didn't sleep here, but we're not going to sleep here today. Tonight we're not going to sleep, but we're not going to sleep. We're not going to sleep. So thank you, Thomas. You want to tell us? Okay, yeah, thank you very much. Yes.
Come in.
I think it's one.
I'm